Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation on this Christmas morning is the Gospel reading from John chapter 1. And all throughout this Advent and Christmas season, we've been talking about this theme that Jesus is true God and true man. He is the Son of God and the Son of man. And John chapter 1 puts this truth forward so beautifully. We see the true God, the eternal Word that was there from the beginning. Through Him, all things were made, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And we see that He takes on human flesh, coming into the world to dwell among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The eternal Word, true God, through whom all things were made, now takes on human flesh and dwells among us. We really can't overemphasize just how beautiful and wonderful this truth is. Sometimes on Christmas, we just say it so much that it just doesn't really seem all that important, but think about it for a second. The God of the entire universe comes down to earth to take on human flesh and dwell among us and be one of us. That truth is very beautifully put in that hymn that we just sung by Martin Luther. Did you catch this line? When he said, "Upon her lap," so the baby on the lap of the Virgin Mary, "upon her lap, content is he who keeps the earth and sky and sea." How amazing is that? How beautiful is that? That upon the lap of the mother, this little tiny baby is simultaneously still the one who keeps the earth and sky and sea. That's the amazing truth of Christmas, and we can't overemphasize this. We can't even fully grasp this with our minds, but we still keep proclaiming that truth of John 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the message that our text has for us this morning. That in Jesus, the Word made flesh, we see God. In Jesus, the Word made flesh, we see God. So like I was saying last night on Christmas Eve, you don't have to just wander around looking for God, hoping that you bump into Him, but look in the place where He has put Himself for you. Look at the manger and you see God. Look at the cross and you see God. Look at the risen and ascended Lord and you see God. And in our sinful human nature, we do not have the ability to see God, find Him, and seek Him out by our own power. But rather, in our sins, we are in deep darkness. We are spiritually blind and dead, so that we can in no way see God. It's true that, like St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, that when we look out in nature, we can see that there's evidence of a God that created all of this. St. Paul even goes so far as to say that when people have nature, they have no excuse to even say that there's not a God. So it's true that we can just go outside and see that there is a God, but we cannot, by our own power or by our own observation, have a relationship with that God, know exactly who that God is and how He comes down to us. This must be revealed to us. And this is revealed to us when the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. When He speaks to us through His Word. When He shows us who He is. And by our own power and in our own sinful human nature, we can't even stand in the presence of God. Because we deserve to die because of our sins, we cannot stand in the presence of a holy God, or we would die ourselves. This is exactly what's happening in Exodus chapter 19 when God descends on Mount Sinai to give His people the law. And the mountain itself is on fire and it's smoking. It's quite a sight. And the people are freaking out. They don't want to be close to God because being in the presence of God is scary for them. And God tells Moses, go down and warn the people lest they break through to the Lord and look, and many of them perish. That's what happens to us in our sinful human nature if we are to see a holy God by ourselves, by our own power, in our own sinful nature. We would perish to even look at God. So by ourselves, we cannot see God. And then we see how this plays out also when Jesus, the Word made flesh, comes to earth. How do we receive him? We children of the darkness, we blind and spiritually dead people, how do we receive the Word made flesh? He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes to us speaking a word of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And what does this blind and dead world do but kill him? Try to put out the light. The darkness tries to put out the light by nailing him to the cross, but it cannot put out the light. Because in Christ, we see true God coming to us in the flesh. As Saint John said in John chapter 1, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. As our reading from Hebrews chapter 1 said, he is the exact imprint of his nature. The exact imprint of God is Jesus Christ in the flesh. And then also as Hebrews chapter 1 quoted, this is about Jesus. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. This is about Jesus. When we see him, he's not just some ordinary man, and he's not just some floating spirit that comes among us. He's true God, and he's true man, dwelling among us in order to give us life, in order to save us. To once again say the line from the Luther hymn, the little baby upon her lap, content is he who keeps the earth and sky and sea. And though the darkness tries to put him out, it simply cannot. Because the darkness of sinful human nature cannot contain the power and glory of the true God who comes in the flesh. And when he comes to us to give us the forgiveness of sins through his suffering and death on the cross, through his blood shed on the cross that washes you clean from every sin, when he rises again from death to bring you life and immortality, this crushes the darkness. This crushes death forever. As our text from John chapter 1 said, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So think about how we are in our sinful human nature. Blind, dead, we can't see God. And if we were to stumble upon him, we would die. We cannot stand before his presence because we are sinful. And he is perfect, pure, and holy. But then what does Jesus do for us? He shows us the Father. He reveals the Father to us. One, in his own person. That when you see the person of Jesus, when you see the baby in the manger, the man on the cross, the risen and ascended Lord, you see God. And then also he reveals the Father to you by forgiving your sin. So that even if you were by yourself in your sin, you would perish in the presence of God. What does Jesus do for you? He washes you clean. He cleanses all of your sins through the shedding of his blood. He takes his robe of righteousness and he places it upon you, so that now you are truly called perfect and righteous because of the forgiveness of sins. Because of the righteousness that Christ has, he won for you by taking your place on the cross. So maybe before, if it was just us and our sinful human nature, we would stand before the judgment seat of God, and what would the verdict be? Guilty, only guilty. But now, when we stand before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, washed clean, white as snow by the blood of the Lamb, we stand before God, and we can stand in his presence. The verdict is innocent, pure, righteous, because all he sees is the righteousness of Christ that has been placed upon you. So because Christ has washed you clean, you can stand before the Father. You can see the Father, because Jesus has shown him to you. And the Father then continually, each and every day, showers his love and grace and mercy upon you through Jesus Christ. Jesus continually shows you the Father each and every day when he gives you his word. When he speaks to you directly the words of forgiveness, the words of life, the words of salvation that he has won for you. Jesus continually brings you to God when he gives you himself in the Lord's Supper. When you eat the very body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, you receive God into your very body. When you receive baptism, water poured on you, attached with the word of God, you are baptized into Christ, like St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. We are joined to him. We are joined to his death, and we're joined to his resurrection in holy baptism. So Jesus continually wants to show you himself, join you to himself, show you the Father, make you holy, wash you clean. So that you can now be in the presence of a holy God, because you are holy. Not of yourself, but made holy by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus continues to come down to you each and every day, giving you himself, giving you his word, giving you his life, until the day when he comes once again in glory to take you home, to be with himself, and show you the Father in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.